Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with Dr. Troy. We get him on once a month, and today, and I think next month too, we're blessed to have him for both hours. We do this monthly edition. It's called Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got more questions already than we can answer, but we always want to give priority to the phone calls. So if you've got a question about health and healing, give us a call, 877-933-2484. But Dr. Troy opened the first hour with this promise that we would address the issue of inflammation. And one of my friends, her daughter, has been researching it, just saying, realizing it's really kind of a common denominator in a lot of health issues. So explain it and how it manifests in our health when things have kind of gone awry.
Well, inflammation is really at the forefront for a lot of the functional disorders that become diseases. And so we now know that it's responsible for a lot of damage internally. So it's basically just as it sounds. It sounds like inflammation. It's inflamed. It's on fire. So it's like having a bunch of little tiny fires in our system. And so to think of it, a better way to think of it is kind of like a spark. So if you have like a fire and then a spark in your fireplace kind of goes out and then causes a little damage in the rug that's right in front of the fireplace, that's what's happening in our body. There's a little chemical reaction. You literally see a spark that flies out and causes damage to whatever cell is nearby.
Oh, wow.
And so generally speaking, the majority of heart disease in women is inflammatory. The majority, it's close to 50%, but maybe 60% of breast cancers are inflammatory. And so the inflammation causes dysfunction in the cell, and then that cell, that can lead to heart disease, cancer, degenerative diseases, basically. So inflammation is something where we're on fire, and not in a good way, literally. So we need something to put the fire out. And so that looks different for different people. So there's a lot of foods that are anti-inflammatory. Some work great for some people. I actually know a lot of people who have inflammatory problems have that problem because they have reactions to the foods that are naturally anti-inflammatory. So they lose the anti-inflammatory properties, and they have an inflammatory reaction to those foods. So you were mentioning turmeric before, and that's a perfect example. There's a lot of people where turmeric works amazing, but there are people who actually have turmeric sensitivities, allergies, or intolerances, and they can't actually use turmeric to put the fire out, so to speak. So, and in fact, they actually have a reaction to it. And I have that. I use turmeric a lot with my inflamed patients, and there are some people that we find actually do worse on that type of product because they have a physical immune or neurologic reaction to the turmeric.
Interesting. Yeah. And the inflammation would manifest itself, I would imagine, like with fibro and just the nerve-ending pain, and with Lyme, I'm thinking joints. Is that right? I mean, is this how we see it manifest in different ways?
Pain itself is not always from inflammation. Inflammation is one of the main scenarios. So you can have inflammation like a fire. You can have acid. Like you have acid or pH imbalance, but like you can get burned from inflammation and you can get burned from acids. So you have that in the body as well. And then also you can have pain just because a nerve that senses pain is firing by mistake. So you may not have any over acid or over inflammation going on and just have a nerve sending a signal. It's completely a mistake. And that does happen in fibromyalgia too. I have fibromyalgia patients who really eat perfectly, and when we measure their acid and their inflammation, there's nothing there.
Muscle memory, so to speak, with the nerve?
It's a neuromuscular memory. Yes,
wow.
So it's the nerve and the muscle, and sometimes it is a It's a nerve issue that can have a nutritional component to it. Sometimes it's a memory in the brain. It's kind of like, have you ever heard of people who've been in the war or something, or they've lost a leg and then they still have pain in that leg even though it's gone? So that is basically the brain getting a sensation. The area of the brain that senses that leg is still being fired upon for some reason, and they sense pain in their leg even though they don't even have a leg anymore. So it's the same type of thing with fibromyalgia, where it could be acid around those nerve endings. It could be inflammation around those nerve endings. It could be a neuromuscular deficit. And generally speaking, when someone has fibromyalgia, we're always looking at mental, chemical, and physical. I've yet to find two things with fibromyalgia patients. I've yet to find where it's just one of those three. It's always a combination of all three to get them back to a good state of health. And every single one has also had a sleep disorder.
Wow.
Every single one. And when we sleep, it's when we repair our body the most.
So we need to treat this inflammation, but first you need to diagnose the best treatment, right? Because
yeah.
It's not a one-size-fits-all.
Yep.
And that's why you need to go see Dr. Troy. Okay, I'm just saying. All right, so this listener wrote in and says, first, I love your program. Learned so much about prayer. Thank you, and thank you. So glad about that. And I love this. She writes, and I love Cheetos, candy, and junk food. But I know they're bad for you. I'm a nurse, and yes, I've cleaned up my diet. My question is on osteoporosis. There's a plethora of information regarding diets. No dairy, and then dairy's okay. Alkaline foods, no coffee. Coffee's okay. And I read excerpts from the book, The Calcium Lie. A lot of confusion even for someone with medical knowledge. The drugs are like drinking drain cleaner. I'm aware of weight-bearing exercises, etc. It's the diet and supplement area that is puzzling to me. Thank you, and may God bless you. Thank you, Janet. Great, great question.
Yeah, she's on it. So all I can say with that is you're exactly right, Janet. It's confusing because you're right on all accounts, and they're right on all accounts. So this is why I chose the verse I did in the beginning. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. What that means is you have to find out which one is you. So for some people with osteoporosis, it is basically you're too acidic. And one of the best neutralizers in your body is calcium. Calcium will neutralize acid, so your body will pull calcium out of the bones to neutralize the acid. Sometimes it's more of an antioxidant problem. And so some osteoporosis is just from a lack of antioxidants. We're not getting enough protection in our body, and so the calcium is used that way. Or the antioxidant, the free radical damage, I should say, is causing the problem. So those are the people who respond well to the actual antioxidant supplements. You're right about the exercise. So weight-bearing exercise is the one common denominator. You can take that to the bank. It's called Wolf's Law. If you actually put more weight on the bone, it'll start to lay down bone. But you have to be very, very discerning and careful that you're not overdoing it. And you have to be just have a lot of awareness of starting slow and building up on that. And do that, but never by itself. You want to also be working with what's helping you. Now, some people, you have to look at how your body is actually using the calcium. So if you're taking calcium and you assess in some way, whether it be a DEXA scan or lab testing, that things are worse, then you're not a calcium person, and you follow that line of thought. And so there are books out there that talk about how it's not a calcium problem. And I tend to agree that it's really not a calcium problem. I worked for years and would give calcium and see little gains. And then as soon as I started pulling the acids out and getting the antioxidants higher, that's when I really started seeing a difference with the actual osteoporosis. And one other little insight here, many people don't, when they come in, we'll check them. And Wolf's Law only works if the muscles are pulling on the bone. And the funny thing is, for most people who have a hip joint that is osteoporotic, and let's say they're younger, they're in their 40s or something like that, it's almost always because they're only using 30% of their hip flexors or their muscles. And so once you get that balance of the muscles pulling equally around the joint, it helps quite a bit in bringing that back down.
So you're saying range of motion type of weight bearing,
and
maybe standing lunges and
yes.
squats, but you're getting a nice full range
yes,
of motion.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And well, and sometimes if you are rotated, as a chiropractor, we see that when people's pelvis will rotate, they might have a weakness in a muscle. They may or may not. So some of the muscles in their hips might be off. So when you look in the mirror, if one shoulder's higher than the other, if one shoulder's ahead, or if your head's kind of rotated a little bit, That's a sign of some level of torque going on in the body, which means that you might have some hidden muscle weaknesses and you can't exercise them out. You have to get things balanced back in position and then exercise. And if that's occurring and you're in that torque position, you will get decreased pulling on the bone in certain areas, and it looks like osteoporosis when really it's just a physical torquing mechanism that's causing the problem.
And so, I really appreciate the whole idea that the issue in osteoporosis may or may not be a calcium deficiency. It could be this highly acidic diet. I've got a relative who's osteoporosis and drinks decaf coffee, which is more acidic than caffeinated, all day long.
Yeah.
So that's creating an acidic environment, isn't it, in
yes.
the body?
Yep. And also vitamin D and hormones play a role as well. So most hormones, vitamin D is a fat-soluble hormone, and a lot of our hormones come from our liver again. And if we have issues with cholesterol and imbalances with the hormones and low vitamin D, that sets up a hormonal cause for osteoporosis as well.
Wow. So if someone is lactose intolerant, do you recommend a certain milligram of calcium, or is it more about the kind of calcium? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's different types of calcium. And so about 1,500 milligrams is what we're talking about. 1,600 milligrams is what we're talking about for taking calcium. And there's different types of calcium. Calcium carbonate really helps buffer the acid. It's not the best for the bones. Calcium citrate is better for the bones, and hydroxyapatite is one of the best ones for actually laying down a bone. So there are multiple different forms of calcium that actually you take depending on what's going on.
Fantastic. We've got a number of questions. I also want to give a shout out to Ashley Darkenwald. She's a fitness expert. She's got some books, and she does a lot of work with people in their fitness life. And she says, want to say I love listening to you and Dr. Troy. He's so gracious and knowledgeable. Thanks for praying for, she said she's praying for health and healing and clarity for our listeners. Lots of questions we're still going to get to, so don't go away. More great information with Dr. Troy on the other side. Health would change if you started to eat smaller portions, you drank more water, you committed to getting exercise several times a week where you pushed yourself, you created a bedtime where it was consistent every single night, right? Where you started to shut things down and you embraced the gift of sleep enough to create time and space for. I wonder what would change. And if you guarded your thoughts from going into the ditch of worry and anxiety, physically things would change for you. I'm telling you, I feel like this is so important for us to steward our health, our mind, body, spirit, because we want to show up in our relationships, our everyday work, and our ministry, you know, in sync and in step with the things of God. And these are constant distractions when we're not taking care of them. This is not ought to or should do. It really is a get to. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got our good friend, Dr. Troy, in studio. He joins us once a month for Health and Healing with Dr. Troy, answering your questions. I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Roberta's checking in from Champlin with a question for you today. Hey, Roberta, how are you?
Hi. Well, I have been dealing with peripheral neuropathy in my leg since I was giving a medication that can cause that, an antibiotic, in November. And it's in the chins of my legs and in a nerve, in particular in my right ankle. I do, however, sleep well at night, but when I'm awake, I deal with this. And I was given the same medication, which is Cipro and metronidazole, or it's called Flagyl, actually 4 years ago. And I did heal up from it, from the same thing, but it seemed like it. This time it's been much worse, and I was not even given as much medication of it. And I just wondered if there's something I could do for that.
First off, I would be very hesitant to take that again in the future. So when you there are different options out there. So if you have to do something in that pharmaceutical realm, let them know of these side effects so that they can make a better recommendation for you. So first off, I want to just mention that.
It was just a sad situation with the medical profession at that particular time.
Okay. As far as healing up from it, generally speaking, there's going to be some type of our side effects from medications generally occur because of some type of dysfunction it causes in the body. When it comes to something like this, there are a couple different scenarios. So I'm going to take a shot here and say it's probably one of the B vitamins that got depleted, and what if you take will help. B6 in particular, but folic acid is another one, and there are a lot of factors here, so it could be something completely different, but there are some nutritional therapies and supplements you can take to actually help speed up this process if it is a nutrient reaction. So a couple of the other ones are there's some things that occur in the liver that phosphatidylcholine is needed for that. And so sometimes it's just a challenge with choline itself. So phosphatidylcholine is another one that you can actually try. It really is dependent upon which nutrient is depleted. So there are some other factors. What I can tell you is if with some other information as far as knowing a little bit more about what else was going on, how you enter into that state will tell you a little bit more about the drug interactions, if you will. So if you're already a little bit nutrient deprived, then that might just be exaggerated a little bit more. So I would start with one of the B vitamins. They do make some peripheral neuropathy specific vitamins that kind of give you more of the complex of Bs, but I would do that to start, and then possibly the phosphatidylcholine. But there are some many other factors that could be behind it as well.
Thanks for that call, Roberta. My dear sister, she's going to kill me for saying she's my sister, but we can tease each other. But she's got a great question, though, and I think she speaks for lots of folks. She says, have you guys talked about cortisol and stress and belly fat and how to get rid of it? What do you say?
This is pretty common, and a lot of anytime we have excessive amounts of stress, we change from releasing adrenaline. So adrenaline is in the short-term stress. Cortisol is under long-term stress. And so back in the day, we really didn't release. And when I say the day, I'm talking about Jesus' time.
Yeah.
So like he, and, you know, like I was back there and you know, back in the day.
And you would know, right?
Yes, 2,000 years ago when we'd hang out, there really wasn't the stress that we have today. Because when they had to go on a journey, they'd walk and they'd discuss things. The pace of life was slower. If they were in a fight or something happened, you'd get this adrenaline. The only time they really released cortisol was during long-term stress, which was really only during famine. So when you're in a famine, the body will release the cortisol. And what it does is it actually causes you to hang on to your fat. And it puts it in your abdominal area, in your core, because it's trying to put it around your organs.
Wow.
If you're in a famine and you cannot find food to eat, it's a survival mechanism that's absolutely brilliant. It's going to put the fat for energy around your organs to keep you alive. The problem is, in our day today, we are in a fast-paced society where it may start off as just intermittent stress, but then when we have that same stress every day going on and on and on, we start to produce the cortisol. And then all of a sudden we start to put fat deposits into our core, around our organs. So if you have high triglycerides, or if you have been diagnosed with fatty liver disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, that's a sign that your cortisol is too high. You don't even need to test the cortisol because your body is storing fat around its organs. There is an MRI facility in, I believe it's St. Louis Park, called MRI Pathways, where they actually do an MRI just to look at how much fat you have on your organs already. And he did, the doctor there did a brilliant amount of work on what is causing stroke, and found that the fat deposits on the arteries are actually causing a lot of the problems leading to stroke. Because in China, they've kind of adapted a lot of our Western
pace.
Eating model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're not gaining weight like we are. They're not gaining weight and becoming obese. They're actually gaining fat on the inside. And so they're having a lot of strokes.
Wow.
So their weight is pretty much not as changed, but their strokes are going up. And it's because of these fat deposits on the actual arteries themselves and around the organs. So the cortisol definitively causes that. And what he found, and what I'm going to get to the answer here, is they tried to do, in his research, they tried to do less fat, like a low-fat diet, and the problem got worse. The only thing that worked was a low-carbohydrate diet. So 100 to 150 grams of carbohydrates, depending on your size, was the only thing that stopped the progression of these fat deposits and, of course, lifestyle management. So for me, I'm always going to talk about sleep disorders because it's completely not addressed. But if you can decrease your carbs to 100 to 150 grams, that's the biggest start. When we're stressed, we crave sugars, and people don't realize how quickly that adds up. So when you lose the weight, all of a sudden you're not as stressed out about what was causing stress before.
If I could interject, though, some might not even realize that breads are sugars because of how they break down. Maybe say a word about that because they're thinking, well, I don't eat sweets, but these break down as sugars.
Yeah, carbs are carbs. So generally speaking, we're talking about fruit and vegetables are carbs, but they have fiber. So they count really low on the carb scale. Then you get rice, potatoes, breads, pastas, and sugar. So sugar is just the most direct carb that we know about because it's done in high numbers. But it's the addition of everything else. Cereals are mostly carbohydrates. The sugars of our pop and stuff like that. We just two cans of Coke and you're at 80 grams of carbs. That's almost a day of carbs in just two cans of Coke.
That's not counting anything else you've eaten.
Yeah, nothing at all, exactly. Mm-hmm. And think about the big super gulps that they have that our kids are drinking now that, it just is unbelievable, the sizes. And so decreasing your carbs is the first thing you can do. Core exercise helps, stress management, fixing the sleep disorder. Those are the main things to start to bring balance. And cortisol's opposing hormone is insulin. And so the more you do physical exercise, especially core balancing work, the more you'll actually decrease that cortisol. And if you have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, the minimum recommendation for fish oils is 3 grams. And so fish oils or omega-3 fatty acids help tremendously with that regulation. So sometimes people will just have a fatty acid deficiency, and that's causing inflammation and fat on the organs.
And we may have to spend some time, if we can get to it here with this last half hour together, Dr. Troy, about the impact, and maybe it's another whole show, but of sleep deprivation that could be solved. I mean, you say there's a lot of sleep disorders in addition to sleep apnea, but the idea that some, it's just a mismanagement of their nighttime routine. I mean, I know I pound this a lot because I just think that could solve so many things. But maybe you make the case on the other side for the importance of sleep and why it's worth. Something else has to go so you can create a window of time. Wouldn't you agree?
100%.
I love it when he agrees with me. Did you hear that just now? Okay. Ann also called in and said, what does Dr. Troy think about fluoride in water, toothpaste, mouthwashes applied to your teeth, at the dentist, etc.? Is there a good holistic dentist recommendation? We'll talk about that too on the other side. Don't go away. More with Dr. Troy when we return. Great song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. If you listen often enough, you know that our whole focus is a deeper life in Christ, powerful life on earth, just to help you walk intimately with God and deepen your roots so he can broaden your impact. And as you deepen your walk with God, as you trust him more, pray with passion and confidence, trust his promises, you'll start to see fruit in your life, which impacts everybody else. And then, of course, because there's such a strong connection to our physical health, once a month we're honored to have Dr. Troy with us, and we call this monthly feature Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got about a half hour left, just a little under that, to take your questions. And we've got emails, we've got calls, But again, I always want to give priority to those live calls that come in. So if we can answer your question, we'll do our best. 877-933-2484. Ann checked in from Lionel Lakes, and she has a great question. She says, what does Dr. Troy think about fluoride? It's in the water, added to the toothpaste, mouthwashes, applied to your teeth at the dentist. Is there a holistic recommendation? Your thoughts?
Well, that is a loaded question again, because for years it was pretty controversial. Mm-hmm. And so there is a lot of history there, I'm going to say politically, as far as why we have that the way we do. We do know that it hardens our teeth, but I will say there is actually no known function for fluoride in the body. We don't see a reason for it anywhere. So you have to be very, very careful with that. There are dentists who will not do fluoride anymore because the hardened teeth are not worth some of the consequences. So let me walk you through that a little bit. If you look at the periodic table, fluoride is at the right-hand side. It's right at the end. And then there's chloride, bromide, and then iodine is right below it. Everything that's in the same column is very similar with how it's made. It's just got a little bit of difference with the number of electrons. And not to get into the chemistry of things again, but the important thing to remember here is if it's in the same column, it has a chance to displace the actual minerals because it's very, very similar. So, and the same thing's true. If you look at mercury, you'll see a lot of the challenges that mercury causes in our body is because of its displacing of other important chemicals that are in the same column. So with fluoride and iodine being in the same column and bromide, whenever we do or expose to excessive amounts of that, we can start to see problems with iodine. And that's where it really becomes an issue now. Because iodine is 100% needed for thyroid function, to make thyroid hormone. And if you look at how many women in particular are on thyroid medication, it's absolutely insane as far as the pure numbers. And so what we see, that comes from two places, in my mind, two places. Excess amount of fluoride and bromide. Bromide is in white bread, basically. It's in a lot of bread. And so if you eat a lot of that bread and you get a lot of the fluoride that's in our water, it can actually displace iodine. And iodine is actually, they just came out with new research on iodine and vitamin D. Iodine is now considered the most deficient mineral in people on the planet.
Wow.
And so why is that? It's not that it's not there. There's a little bit, it's not in the soil and stuff like it used to be, but these other things are displacing it. And so for me, I'm very cautious when it comes to fluoride. For my kids and myself, I use a toothpaste that has no fluoride in it. And there's a book called Mouthful of Poison by Dr. Myron Wentz. And he addresses that in that book. And he talks about how there's no use for fluoride in the body. Yeah, Dr. Wentz is a world-renowned immunologist, and he was basically the scientist that created the test kits that we now use in our hospitals to detect things like mono and stuff like that. So he's a world expert on human cell culture, so he knows how the human cell works. And his book, he talks about that. As far as a recommendation for holistic dentists, I know there's a lot of them in the Twin Cities. I know I'm going to forget a whole bunch, but I'm going to give you the name of two that I know of that I've brought my kids to or that I've worked with myself. And on the north side of the cities, Tooth by the Lake is a very good holistic dental clinic. And Cedar Cliff Dental is actually right around the corner from my office, and they do a good job as well.
And for those listening in Hartford and other places around the country, what could they search for? Holistic dentistry? Could they just Google that?
Yes, that would be the best thing to do is just okay. Google holistic dentist.
I love how you explain that because it makes complete sense. And I personally feel smarter now. I'm just saying, really, that's fascinating. And what a great question. Appreciate that so much.
Just walk around with the periodic table and you feel even smarter and people will listen to you instantly.
Exactly. 877-933-2484 if you've got a question. And this is a question from a listener. She says, I'm caring for a 6-year-old boy who has bathroom issues. Can Dr. Troy help? He has trouble sensing when it's time to use the bathroom for a bowel movement. Excuse me, but this is going to get a little graphic, but there's something I think Dr. Troy has to speak to this. Often leaks a little stool in his clothing. By having him take the scheduled 15-minute bathroom breaks and using mineral oil and fiber-rich foods, he's able to go every other day. Doesn't seem constipated. The ongoing problem, though, is a stool that happens in his clothes. and his bottom is sore. He doesn't seem to know when that happens. It has been recommended to see a chiropractor for resolution. Will chiropractic treatment help the situation? He does have some relationship separation trauma issues with one parent. Overall, he's a happy, cooperative, high-energy boy full of wonder and passion. What say you, Dr. Troy?
What comes to mind first is that there can be constipation issues further upstream, if you will, that are there, and so we do see that a lot of diarrhea type scenarios are actually just end stage constipation because not to be too graphic, but there's a blockage, but water and other things can kind of get around that, and so that's why you may not be able to feel it. So it could be constipation further upstream. And there's basically some valves, the ileocecal valves between the small and large intestine. With kids, it becomes very sensitive and can spasm shut. And so we will release it. So a chiropractor is a good idea. It may or may not help. If there is muscle weakness because of neurologic compromise, then a chiropractor can help with that. If it's not a tumor or something like that. And I don't even want to put those words out there to say that's what it is. But there are certain things neurologically that are serious that you'd need to see medical professionals for that. But most likely, a chiropractor will be able to help quite a bit if it's neuromuscular scenario in the lower spine, or if it's an intestinal blockage further upstream.
Okay, staying on the topic. So sorry if you're listening and eating your cheeseburger, but you know, a common issue with people is being backed up, right?
Yes.
And what are I would love for you to speak to just some of the biological issues, the emotional issues, if there are, you know, emotional connections to that, or is it always just the pace of life and the diet that you're...
No, it can be multiple different things. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about being in fight or flight versus rest and digest. So pace of life, if you're in adrenal stress, fight or flight, your brain is sending signals to your arms and legs so you can fight or flee. Not to your digestive system. And so for your digestive system to work, you need the nerves firing to those muscles of the digestive system first and foremost. If that is working, then we have to also have a stretch reflex. So for our colon and small intestine to work, it's like a big long tube, and it has to be stretched for the nerves to kick in and then send the signal to contract to push things along, which means we have to eat enough to have that occur. Many people who overate for years get what's called megacolon, where it gets too big. And then when they actually start eating properly, they have problems because now they don't have enough to actually cause the expansion and you end up getting constipated. So those are the people who need fiber. So if you gained a lot of weight, had ate way too much, and then you just years later are doing it, you know, properly, you may need more fiber to kind of bulk things up a little bit. And fiber helps clean things up. And life really does not begin until 20 grams of fiber a day. there's a reason why our parents and grandparents will base a good day on whether or not they've had a bowel movement. Mm-hmm. Because it just, when things are clean and working down there, there's a reason why they call it your second brain. That's the nickname for the digestive system. It's because a lot of our brain chemistry comes from that area, a lot of our good bacteria that creates the B vitamins and helps with the B vitamins to help our hormone balance comes from that area. So keeping it clean is very, very crucial.
And on the flip side, by not really pursuing regularity, so to speak, you really are really at risk for other secondary issues, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. And the number one diagnosed cancer is colon cancer. It's not the number one that kills us, but it is by far the most diagnosed cancer. And think about that for a second, because our digestive system is really, the funny thing is it's inside our body, but it's our interface between the outside world and the inside world. It's a tube. So for damage to be in the lining of the colon is basically what we've put into our system. That is causing the problem. And so we want to keep that tube clean and healthy, basically.
Okay, make the case. Actually, let's go this way with the sleep issue. Talk about the ripple effect. And I'm not even talking about sleep apnea or disorders that need to be addressed, but just our own maybe neglect of the nighttime routine. What are the implications of that?
Well, overall implications is you speed up the aging process, slow down the healing process. Mm. So every night, good sleep, we are repairing. And if you're watching stuff on a screen that's in front of you, whether it be your phone or other things, that can decrease your ability to get into deeper sleep, or it just slows down the process. And we have these 45-minute and 4-hour sleep cycles. And if we don't go through those cycles enough, then we see a speeding up of the aging process and slowing down of the healing process. And the more things you do to take away from that, then the worse it is. So screens before going to bed, having arguments before going to bed, excessive amount of thinking before going to bed. A lot of these things really don't serve us all too well. Whereas praying with your spouse, hugging, cuddling. There's a lot of research that shows just hugging before going to sleep, how effective that is. And then intimacy and things like that. There's a lot of health reasons, a lot of healthy things that come from that, including deeper sleep.
Wow.
So it's a very, very, there's a lot of things we can do to make it better, and a lot of things we can do to make it worse, which we do.
Yeah, we indeed do. And so to think about maybe cutting that day back, and even if something else has to go, so that you're creating this window of time that's steady and it's consistent. Is it possible to appreciate the kind of health that you actually could without a consistent kind of turn in time? I know we can't do that every, I mean, there's times you have meetings that run late and that kind of a thing, but as a rule versus exception, is it possible to enjoy good health without some kind of steady, sturdy plan for your nighttime routine?
No, you have to have the good, steady plan and good night routine to actually truly appreciate good good health. People who have sleep, you could take, if I sleep deprive anyone, they could be healthy, 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 and within 3 short weeks, they are going nuts with how they feel.
Wow.
You have to have that sleep. And I tell people, I prioritize. I don't sell mattresses or pillows or anything like that. But we spend a third of our life on our bed. And so I prioritize sleep by making sure your bed and your sleep environment, you should put more time, effort, and money into that than almost anything else when it comes to your health. Because you're there a third of your life, and it's so reparative. If you want to save money in the long run, have less medical bills, improve your sleep. Invest in a good mattress, a good pillow, and really improve your sleep. And my wife and I, when we travel, occasionally we've been upgraded to these rooms where we sleep, and we're like, what is this joy that I'm lying on right now? This is unbelievable. And if you could be there, fly on the wall, you would see us tearing that whole thing apart, getting labels and writing down the names, wow, taking pictures. And we duplicate that at our home. Mm. And that's our current setup comes from the most amazing sleep we both got, including what types of sheets were used and blankets. And so that's how much it means to us, to as far as our health.
I was going to say it's a core value because you know the ripple effect. I guess that's why I wanted you to make the case for it, because these are things you actually can do to some degree, establish this routine. And when you realize that sleep is bringing healing and health, and I've heard that when you sleep deprive, it also affects your metabolism, and people have a hard time regulating their weight and even their digestive faculties, so to speak, right? They don't work as well.
Yeah. Well, you will crave caffeine and sugar when you're sleep deprived, because when you have to go somewhere. So you want to think more clearly. So people go right to coffee. And so if you're using coffee to wake up and a glass of wine or something to go to sleep at night, which a lot of Americans do, that is a recipe for disaster. And so we want to get the good sleep, because if you don't, you're going to start craving the sugars. It causes adrenal stress, which affects the thyroid and the insulin and the cortisol, like we talked about before. And our metabolism slowly goes down because your body is basically telling you, you need sleep.
Mm. Wow. So good. Great, great information. Now, I've got a whole bunch of emails, and I've got some past emails from last time we didn't get to. So I got a minute and a half to sort through and figure out what I'm going to ask Dr. Troy about. We really didn't address serotonin, did we, very much? Let's talk about that when we come back, and then I'll pick a few others as well. We've got one more segment left. I bet we could squeeze in one call if you want to be that person. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com.
Making diamonds out of diamonds. He is refining it.
We're all works in progress, and His mercies are new every morning, and His faithfulness is great. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is With the Promise. It is Health and Healing Today with Dr. Troy. We get him on every month to answer your health questions. And he's a great man of faith and such a wealth of wisdom for us. And truly, the goal here is not ever to shame you, to pressure you, to make you feel like you're just not measuring up. It really is always about a get-to, about, you know, we can tweak some of the smallest little things in our routine and have great results. So just really consider your sleep routine and eating and different things like that. And I hope you can go back and catch the podcast if you just tuned in. But let's talk for a moment about serotonin. And you and I addressed this during my last appointment with you about ways that you can have serotonin depletion from trauma, heartbreak, extended stress. Speak about serotonin and what we should know about it.
Well, serotonin is a very important brain chemical. And a lot of when people are depleted in this, a lot of their joy can start to leave. And so even depression and stuff like that can become a scenario with low serotonin. And a lot of the medications that help with depression are serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So basically it allows the serotonin to bind longer to the area of the brain to help them feel a little bit more balanced. And so when we talk about serotonin, one of the biggest things as far as for you to have control on that is to know first and foremost that the majority of serotonin is actually made or converted in our digestive system, in our tract. So if we have a poor digestive system or inflammation, you may clean up your diet and start feeling better mood-wise just because you have less inflammation and now the serotonin can be made more appropriately. The other scenarios that we see, a lot of people with dairy sensitivities will become compromised in serotonin because the precursor to serotonin is a chemical called 5-hydroxytryptophan. Tryptophan is in milk and turkey and stuff like that. Now, there's not, you know, the whole Thanksgiving eat too much turkey thing that makes you sleepy. It's not that that's actually causing you sleepy. It's eating too many carbs. But tryptophan, if your immune system is attacking dairy, it can start to deplete the raw ingredients that are needed to make serotonin.
Wow.
So we can see some people have issues with that as well, with the dairy sensitivities. And also the areas of the brain that use serotonin a lot, if they're being overused, you can literally burn up the fuel. So serotonin is like a fuel for our brain. And if you are overusing that part of your nervous system, that can cause problems too. So chronic pain can do that. And then problems with our hips and our shoulders and our neck. Those particular areas of the body, if you have chronic tension or feedback from those joints or those areas to an area of our midbrain called the mesencephalon, that can actually set up eventually a problem with low serotonin. Now, it may take 2 years, but it's still many people will go with a muscle spasm or ache or something, not address it fully, and just kind of work through it, but not realize that it's actually having this other effect on our serotonin.
And correct me if I just don't know if I remember this right, but I thought you'd said as well that it may manifest in this lack of joy, kind of a bend towards depression, or it may not. It may be muscle spasms and some anxiety that, you know, that you're not exactly depressed, but you've got some other imbalances and you feel it and you don't feel yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So there are multiple different areas of the brain that use serotonin. So you may not get the emotional side of it at all and have more issues with the joint stuff that we talked about, where it could work the exact opposite, where you have digestive inflammation, low serotonin, and your brain preferentially pushes it more towards the emotional part. But then you get these hip and neck and shoulder problems because of the low serotonin, because those nerves now are not firing as much. So it can manifest quite differently.
And so any advice for a person who senses they may have a low serotonin? What are some next steps they should take?
The biggest thing is to, you can supplement with it, but the biggest thing is to just get the digestive system working better. Just look up the list of serotonin-rich foods or tryptophan-rich foods and start with that. Eat that. And then doing things that help with those joints. So stretches, stabilization exercises that help with your relaxation with the muscles, the shoulders, and the neck. Massage therapy in those areas help tremendously. A lot of people report significant relief and release just from getting their muscles worked on from massage therapy.
Wow, so good. Okay, so we've got about 3 minutes left. You wanted to say a few words about supplements. Go.
Yeah. So basically, supplements are something that I really didn't I wasn't a fan of them because I was an athlete, and I thought if you just ate well enough, that's all you needed. But working in the industry that I do, that quickly changed. And so I just wanted to point out some guidelines. So there's a huge difference out there between good supplements and bad supplements. So I want to give people a little bit of an idea of what to look for. First of all, as far as the need for supplements, in 1992, the Earth Summit confirmed that the mineral depletion globally in the topsoil in the United States and Canada was 85%. 85% depletion in the minerals in our topsoil. Asia and South America were 76%, and around the world we're seeing, because of farming practices and because of industry and chemicals, there's a leaching of our minerals. In March 2006, the United Nations recognized a new kind of malnutrition called multiple micronutrient depletion. Essentially what this means is, even though we're eating the same foods, there's less minerals in there and we're not getting it from our food supply. And the reality is the overweight people are just as malnourished as the starving people. So we have an interesting scenario worldwide where, especially in the United States, we have an epidemic of obesity. They're obese people who are nutrient deprived. They're the same. They've got literally close to the same mineral analysis as starving people in Africa. There is a big problem with too many calories and not enough nutrients in our food. So with that, supplementation becomes very, very important. And there is a book that I will refer people to. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, and it's called The Comparative Guide to Nutritional Supplements. The author is Lyle McWilliams. He was tasked to come up with something from the Canadian government to look at supplements. It's an unregulated industry. And so he went out and he looked at bioavailability, what's actually on the labels in the bottle, and there is a drastic, drastic difference. He assessed over 1,300 different multiple supplements and gives us a bit of a breakdown. So you can start to see that there's quite a big difference. So it's a good guide to have to help you determine what type, at least the quality of what you're taking, because there's a lot of research saying take vitamin D. But is all vitamin D made equally? And the answer is no.
So you could actually do more harm than good if you're taking lots of cheap supplements maybe that aren't the best.
Yeah, that's the problem. So, and it's a very, very big issue. I want people to really, really hear this, that if you need a good vitamin, or if you need a vitamin B6 that your labs show you need B6, there's a significant difference. And what do people generally do when it comes to making a choice for vitamins? They base it off of one or two things. What have they heard, and cost? They almost always go for the cheapest one, which is almost always the biggest mistake when it comes to supplements. And the second thing is, when you look at when they go to the store, if they have to take a multiple vitamin, where are they going to go to? Something like Centrum usually. When you look at the comparative guide, when it first came out, there was 500 different companies. Centrum finished 470th, around there. And so I'm not beating up on Centrum, maybe a little bit, but the reality is the good companies spend all of their money on research and product development versus ads on TV. Mm. And so the ones that most people know score generally the worst on his comparative guide.
Wow. And we are going to link up that particular book on today's show page along with Dr. Troy's clinic. I just want to pause and pray. I know we just have a moment, but Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. Speak to each one of us, to the adjustments that you're inviting us to make even today, just the little tweaks and maybe big ones so that we can steward our health in a way that honors you and helps us to last long and finish strong. Thank you, Lord. In your name. Amen. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. And once you get to our website, I'm just asking, even if you're not someone to exercise, consider joining us for the Live Free Challenge. And maybe you just want to support one of us who signed up, but I pray you'll join us. You'll feel so much better. Help us to put an end to human trafficking in our lifetime. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.